Well, praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and I'm adding some commentary in regarding to the different steps to be able to find life in the Lord, along with some of these shorter chapters. Right now we're on the book of Genesis. This is chapter 12. And let's go to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this chapter and the rest of the reading and the expounding, the commentary. Lord, bless the reading, the commentary. Bless your word into everyone's heart, their spirit, in the mind of their spirit. Let it cut into every spirit, Lord, and into every spiritual mind. Let it stay there, and the knowledge that we need to, in order to have life, to continue being your vessels that you live in. Lord God, we ask it in the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's go. Start reading the commentary first.
God's desire, his intention, is to have a corporate body.
Yeah, corporate body. The Lord wants to have one man, a corporate man. That means just one person is going to get into the kingdom of heaven. And everyone that's going to be in that corporate man or body is anyone that's going to be in heaven will be a member of that corporate man, that corporate body, that corporate church. Now, the Bible doesn't say that where we go to gather ourselves, the house of prayer, is the church. It says that we are the churches and that the house of prayer is the building. Amen? But we need to be part of that corporate man. Corporate meaning having many members. It's like a corporation of people making up one man. A corporate man, a body, a church. The New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. It's a corporate bride. Then what?
That body is the body of Christ.
Right.
This body or corporate man has his image.
Has the Lord's image. Amen?
Amen.
So, in other words, anyone that's going to be in that corporate man has to have his same image. When people see us, when they see what we're doing, when they see what we're saying or hear what we're saying, it has to have the same image of Christ, or we're not part of that corporate man. Okay, then what?
This body or corporate man has his image and manifests his glory.
And we, as part of that corporate man, manifest the glory of God, because we do exactly what he did. Or else you're not part of that corporate body. Amen? That Amen. Corporate man. Right? The Antichrist, the same way. He has a corporate body. All the different evil people in the world are members of that corporate body of Satan. They all have his spirit, and they do what he does. They lie, they steal, they commit adultery, fornication, they're lesbians, homosexuals, liars, and they give no glory to God, but they do everything they can to represent the corporate body of Satan, the corporate other man. There's only two men. You have to either be in the first Adam or the last Adam. Okay, the last Adam is the corporate man, Christ. The first Adam is the corporate man, Satan. All right, that's easy to understand, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, then what?
This body, the church or New Jerusalem, also possesses his authority to deal with his enemy, that he himself is able to have eternal rest.
Yes, because we are able to deal, if we're members of the corporate man, Christ, we're able to deal, because he, as the corporate man, is able to deal with God's enemy, the devil. And why? So he can have eternal rest. That man can have eternal rest. If you're part of that man, then you have eternal rest, eternal life, eternal. Amen?
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, then what?
Not many people know that God's desire can only be attained through His, God's own life.
Yeah, we have to be in God's life. His life has to be in us in order for us to attain this, His will. That is, to have a corporate man. Then what?
Not many people have known and experienced this life which accomplishes the will of God.
Yeah, if your life accomplishes the will of God, then you're in the corporate man. Then what?
The people of God today are very weak and immature.
Many, yeah, the ones calling themselves Christians are very weak and immature today. Then what else?
Many are seeking, yet few have found the way of life. Many people have confused life with zeal, knowledge, power, and gifts, etc., for life. God's hidden and wonderful life is made possible for every believer to see and touch life by study of the Word and obedience to it. Today, the message of God is crystallized. It is the cream.
But this is the crystallization of God's Word. It's become so crystal clear you can see it. Amen?
Amen.
So now God is crystallizing His Word so that you, this people in this era of the hour of temptation, have no excuse. Well, we know that it's hard to hang on, Sloopy, hang on, but the Word is so crystallized now that it isn't that hard if you give yourself over to the Word to become a member of the corporate man, Christ. It isn't that hard for you to hang on. All right? But it does take due diligence. You do have to put your heart into it.
Today, the message of God is crystallized. It is the cream for today's saints. Because
the cream of the whole gospel, the Old and New Testament, is given to the people in this world today, and to the church especially. And so there's no excuse. It's crystallized. It's the cream of the gospel. Then what?
It is the cream for today's saints, because today we are living in the hour of temptation, and we need to be fully beefed up for it.
Beefed up. Beefed up with the Word, which is crystallized. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The knowledge and experience of New Testament truths is 2,000 years.
New Testament, right. That's 6,000 years, Old and New Testament. So we get all that crystallized for you now, and there's no excuse. Backsliding should never exist, and isn't that something we're living in the age when there is a great falling away, a big falling away. Great means big. Then what?
The experience and knowledge of those in the Old Testament and the New Testament regarding life in the past 6,000 years is now given to those of us who want life, plus my 40 years of personal experience. I say this in the year 2004. All these things are pretty much complete and superb. Let me teach you how to pursue life and practice its lessons. Rise in a straight line and speedily rise to the stage of maturity of life. These messages will make the invisible and untouchable science of life known to you.
There's a science to it. Amen?
Amen.
God is science. And what else?
Everyone wanting to live God's life will want to continue hearing and reading these messages taken from God's holy word, the Bible.
Now then.
Genesis chapter 12.
Okay, now we're going into Genesis chapter 12. Then what?
King James Version, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. The Call of Abram. Commentary, verse 1. Then the Lord told Abram, quote, Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. King James Version, verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing.
Make thy name great, make you famous. More famous than famous Amos. Amen?
Amen.
He's the guy that makes the cookies. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 2. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and I will make you a blessing to others. King James Version, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Commentary, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you.
All the families of believers. Okay, then what else? But only if you believe. If they don't believe, well, then they're cursed. Amen? That's what the Lord said. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 4. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Commentary, verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. King James Version, verse 5. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered.
How do you call your kid Lot? You know, it's like a real estate or something. Right? Want to buy a lot? Right? All right, then what?
And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came.
That's the land of the Africans. That's also called the land of Ham. And what else?
Commentary, verse 5. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people who had joined his household at Haran, and finally arrived in Canaan.
That's also where Sodom and Gomorrah was, and the remnants of it is still there. And what else?
King James Version, verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land.
That's the Africans. Then what?
Commentary, verse 6. Traveling through Canaan, they came to a place near Shechem, and set up camp beside the oak at Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites.
Africans. Then what?
King James Version, verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him.
So how did the Lord appear to him when he was the Spirit? When the Lord is the Spirit. The only image of God is Christ. Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. So we could see Christ. We could see God. He can't see God in Christ because God is invisible. But Christ, the man, you could see. And that's who Abraham saw, was Christ, same as Moses and others in the Bible. Then what?
Commentary, verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, quote, I am going to give this land to your offspring, end quote.
I'm going to give Canaan land to your offspring. I'm going to give you this part of Africa to your offspring. I'm going to have your offspring come in here and kill all these people because they're lewd and wicked, evil, and they shouldn't be on earth. They disgrace my image and likeness. They're foul, evil, wicked, rotten to the core. Then what?
And Abram built an altar there to commemorate the Lord's visit. King James Version, verse 8. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east.
In the Hebrews, Ai. Then what?
And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Commentary, verse 8. After that, Abram traveled southward and set up camp in the hill country between Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar and worshipped the Lord. King James Version, verse 9. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Commentary, verse 9. Then Abram traveled south by stages toward the Negev. King James Version, verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Commentary, Abram and Sarai in Egypt, verse 10. At that time there was a severe famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to wait it out. King James Version, verse 11.
Wait it out means to go over there so that there's something to eat until it starts growing elsewhere. Amen?
Amen.
And then what else?
King James Version, verse 11. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Commentary, verse 11. As he was approaching the borders of Egypt, Abram said to Sarai, quote, You are a very beautiful woman. King James Version, verse 12. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Commentary, verse 12. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, This is his wife. Let's kill him. Then we can have her! Exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 13. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee.
Now here God already told him that he was going to be the father of many nations. He hadn't had a son yet, and there's no need for him to lie or tell his wife to do such a thing as that, and to put his wife into the harem of Pharaoh. I mean, I just don't understand that at all, because he was already told that he was going to be the father of many nations. He hadn't even had a son yet. Then what else?
Commentary, verse 13. But if you say you are my sister, then the Egyptians will treat me well because of their intent in you, and they will spare my life. King James Version, verse 14.
But what about her? He's thrown her to the dogs. Amen?
Amen.
You're crazy. All right, then what else?
King James Version, verse 14. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair.
Yes.
Commentary, verse 14. And sure enough, when they arrived in Egypt, everyone spoke of her beauty. King James Version, verse 15. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Commentary, verse 15. When the palace officials saw her, they sang her praises to their king, the Pharaoh, and she was taken into his harem. King James Version, verse 16. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep, and oxen, and he asses, and men servants, and maid servants, and she asses, and camels. Commentary, verse 16. The Pharaoh gave Abram many gifts because of her: sheep, cattle, donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. King James Version, verse 17. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Commentary, verse 17. But the Lord sent a terrible plague upon Pharaoh's household because of Sarai, Abram's wife. King James Version, verse 18. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Commentary, verse 18. So Pharaoh called for Abram and accused him sharply. Quote, What is this you have done to me? He demanded. Why didn't you tell me?
Exclamation mark.
Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? King James Version, verse 19. Why saidest thou, She is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. Commentary, verse 19. Why were you willing to let me marry her, saying she was your sister? Here is your wife! Exclamation mark. Take her and be gone! Exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 20. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. Commentary, verse 20. Pharaoh then sent them out of the country under armed escort, Abram and his wife, with all their household and belongings. A commentary on chapter 12, verse 1.
Okay, so that's the end of the verses. So we're going back to verse 1, okay, on a commentary. Go ahead.
A relationship with God. We are his servants, not he ours. We are called to glorify God, not he us or we ourselves. We are to help him. If we are his bride, we are his helpmate. We are to praise him, not he us or we ourselves. We are to give to him. He has already given us life and a life more abundant. We are to give him all, underlined in caps, of our strength, our attention, heart, all our soul, all our mind. God is the glorious one, not us. He is good, not us. He is the creator of all things, not us. It is our reasonable duty to give our lives to him. He gave his for us. We are members of his body, not he our members of ours. When God called Abram to leave his country and people and go to a land that God would show him, God promised to guide him. But Abram had to do it. He had to step out in faith. God has promised to be with us as we do what he says. Quote, You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command. John 15:14. And we must also seek his help to hold on to salvation. He will, if you're the servant, ask you to do things for him. We are the servants. We must obey as Abram did if we want life with God's blessings.
Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. That was chapter 12, the book of Genesis. And we'll be doing chapter 13 tonight, God willing. Till then, God bless you really well. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.